Good morning. Good to be here. I trust you've had a good week in the Lord. We sure did at the men's retreat. And I'm telling you, if it was one that I would love for our whole church to have gone to, it would have been this past Friday and Saturday. We had a wonderful time, and the preaching was outstanding. And glad that the men went with me, enjoyed themselves. There's another one coming up in April, men's advancement in Tampa, and the sign-up sheet's over here. Make sure that you make yourself available to that. Add to your faith. And then this weekend coming up, the ladies, there will be a ladies retreat down in West Palm Bay. And we do have a couple of seats available. There's some things that come up on a couple that could not make it. So if you would like to go and you're not signed up, please see my wife so they can add you to that and get you the information you need. I believe you'll enjoy your time there with them, ladies. So if you can go, that's this Friday, and there's, I'm not saying that there's five places, but there's a couple. There's a few. So if you come and there's not a spot for you because someone beat you there, it's not that they did not want you to go, it's just that the spot was filled up. But we'd love for as many to go as possibly can. And another note of advertisement here is Saturday, March 7th, 2015, at 2 o'clock, Starlight Baptist Church in Winter Springs will be having their annual wild game dinner. That's this coming Saturday. The brochure is here. I'll get it pinned up on the board over there. So if you want to go, the advance tickets are $8. If you buy them at the door, there's $12. It's always a good time. We have several men and young boys that go up there every year. They'll have rifles and guns, muzzleloaders, bows that they'll be raffling off. I guess you get a ticket when you buy and they just draw your name. So, but you'll get to eat some bear and some moose and some possum and some armadillo. It's wild game. So you can't beat that off, and they just mix it all together, so you don't know which piece you get. So you don't have to worry about it. They ask what you had. If you like deer, just say, I had deer. So it's your choice. Then the Financial Peace University, Brother Hector will be overseeing. That will start on the 19th, actually, but there will be a meeting on the 8th, next Sunday evening at 5:30. There's a sign-up sheet right back here with some information you need to get on there. And put that there. It's no. It's a really good course, really good material there to be right here at the church. I think once you're a member for life. So you can go again if you need a refresher course. You know, it's a good thing to know how to be a good steward of the money the Lord's given you. So if you've been a bad steward over a few periods, this is just a tool that will help you. With that. So Brother Hector Rist will be overseeing that. Please sign up if you are interested in that. This sign up here is only for the pre-meeting. He'll have some previews, so it'll show you what's to come. And you might decide when you go on next Sunday, this isn't for me. So make yourself available to at least the material that's going to be available next Sunday evening at 5:30. All right, Philippians chapter 4. If we would, good to have visitors with us from all over the continent, really. So we're glad to have you here and appreciate you being at Lock Haven Baptist Church, and I trust that you'll have a wonderful time here at the house of the Lord, and you will enjoy the hospitality of the church. The church members, make sure you make them feel at home. They'll be spending money here to help fix our roads, so you make them feel at home. They can spend all their money. Buy ice cream, go see Disney, SeaWorld, sing with Shamu the whale, whatever you want to do. Just leave your money and don't take it back home with you. We need some road work done around here. As you can notice up just north of the church, they've slowed down their progress on working there because they've run out of money. So we've got to get some more money flowing. And the mayor is not helping us either. He's building football fields and soccer fields and all kind of other fields that that these teams could pay for themselves, but us taxpayers are footing the bill, so we need your money. So go ahead. You got a good exchange rate, I believe, if you're from Canada. So you just unload. Philippians 4. Now, we are going through the book of Philippians, verse by verse, chapter by chapter on Wednesday night, so I will not get in detail of this portion of Scripture, but we will reach it when we get there. We're in chapter 1 of Philippians, but we're going to read a portion of the passage of Scripture here that will help us this morning get started. Philippians chapter 4, we'll begin reading in verse 4. When we get to verse 8, if you'd read verse 8 with me, it's kind of a lengthy verse, so let's stay together mumbling it up. So let's stay together as we read together verse number 8. Verse 4, Philippians chapter 4, the Bible says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Verse 7. "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." I tell you, boy, this day and age which we live in, there is negative attitudes everywhere. I mean, everywhere you look. And unfortunately, it spills over into our churches as well. You know, bad attitudes, negative attitudes. So what we're going to look at this morning is negative attitudes, how to defeat them in our life, how to get through these attitude that even some of us have. To be honest with you, there's some times that you and I both have negative attitudes. And just to be honest, watching the news for 35 to 40 minutes will give anybody a bad attitude. So we're going to look at negative attitudes this morning. Now, first off, I want you to know that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. So if you're sitting here this morning and your attitude is that you really are here only to please the person beside you, you were invited, or you're here because you're looking or searching for something that is missing in your life, I'm going to tell you, getting your attitude changed is not going to change your eternity. If you don't know Christ Jesus, your personal Lord and Savior, dear friend, you're going to spend eternity in a place called hell. It's a real place. It's just as real as heaven. I'm amazed at the amount of people who are bothered by this place called hell. Listen, it wasn't created for you or me. It was created for the devil and his angels. But those who reject Christ as their personal Lord and Savior will spend eternity there. In this place called hell. So your attitude changed. We can preach this morning and get you to be positive and have a positive attitude, dear friend. But if you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you don't know Christ Jesus with a positive attitude, dear friend, you'll die and go to hell. You can be rich and wealthy and be moral. Without Christ, Christ didn't die on the cross of Calvary, dear friend, for you to spend eternity in hell. He died so you could know Him as personal Lord and Savior, that you can be conformed to the image of His image. And God raised Him from the dead that it might be power and proof to the proof of atonement, that Jesus Christ paid it all. So if your attitude is bad because you don't know Christ as your Savior, well, that's important to figure out. Today is the day of salvation. Listen, you can get saved today. Right where you're sitting, you can trust Christ as your Lord and Savior. What I have to do, preacher, I have to know that I'm a sinner before God. All have sinned. Straight from the top all the way down to the bottom, from the bottom to the top, and everybody in between. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. You have to admit that. You've ever been lost? Hey, let me tell you something. The first thing that they teach people when they go out hunting in national forests is, if you get lost, is the first to do what? Admit you're lost. You sit here. I've been in church all my life, preacher. You've got to admit you're lost. The Holy Spirit of God works in your life, in your heart. Truth is presented to you from the Word of God. It's not our church that can save you. There's nothing in our church that our church creed or church bylaws that can save you. It is written that you might know that you have eternal life, and that's in the Word of God, that you might know it. And you admit that you're a sinner before God, and you put faith and trust in Christ. Repentance to God. What's repentance? That means your way is the wrong way. God's way is the right way. You turn, and you turn to God and say, God, I need Christ. And the Holy Ghost of God convicts from within, from the heart, and you are born again from above. And then He begins to work on you. And part of that working on is our attitudes. What's up with our attitudes? I'm telling you, first thing you need to know if you want to defeat bad attitudes is your decisions have to change. If you would, with me, go over to Deuteronomy chapter 30. This morning. You're going to have to make some decisions in your life to have a good attitude. Deuteronomy chapter number 30 and verse number 19. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse number 19, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, what does it say? Choose life. That both thou and thy seed may live. I'll tell you, dear friends, some people's negative attitudes, they don't realize it, but their pessimism, it spreads around them. It goes to those around you. It goes to your children. You want to have a child that doesn't like coming to church, then you have an attitude that church isn't important to you. Man, I wish the Lord that preacher wouldn't have preached so long today. Good night alive. It's 12:03. Don't he know he should be stopped by now? And you talk that way all the way home. And then whenever it comes time for your children to make them stand at 16, 17-year-old, they need to be involved and be faithful to the things of God and to their youth group. And they've had a bad attitude all their life from mom and dad about how things at church don't all go. Well, they didn't choose my favorite song again. What is wrong with them? I appreciate Brother Stacy being willing to come up front and give his testimony about how he should have used his voice and the results therein. Hey, it's not good to stand before, it's not easy to stand before others and let your faults be known. Dear friend, but hey, our testimony is what it is, and he realized that, and he wanted to use his testimony to try to help you to make better decisions. Yeah. Choose life. You know, you don't want those around you to have a bad attitude, dear friend. Listen, you need to take the lead. You need not to have a bad attitude. Your attitude needs to be positive. It needs to be with a good outlook. Why? Because our Father, which is in heaven, sit the Lamb of God, the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is worthy to be praised, sent Him to die on the cross of Calvary for you and I. And He's preparing a place for you. What a fitting song this morning. Our mansions. Hey, listen, this is as bad as it's going to get. Hey, that argument that you had this morning with your spouse because she didn't fix you the proper breakfast that you thought that you should have, men. Listen, if you don't like the breakfast that she's fixed, why don't you rise up a little earlier and fix her breakfast? And have a good attitude. That burnt steak or that burnt hamburger or that breakfast that didn't taste just like you wanted it or thought you should have it. Listen, that's the worst it's going to get. Eternity is ours. It's our preachers. There are things in this life that's going to try to weigh down my attitude. Surely is. Here's an example. Go over to Genesis chapter 50. Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20. There is things that's going to try to get into your life by even those closest to you that would affect your life. Dear friend, we got to have a make daily decisions in our life that are necessary that we understand and we concentrate and we understand that God's in charge of everything. Verse 20, the Bible says here about, this is what Joseph said. Do you think about the life of Joseph? Here's a young man who loved his father, loved his mother, loved his brother, loved his family. And he was sold into slavery by his family. He served his master well. And his master's wife laid eyes upon him and desired him. And he said, I'm not going to do this great sin against God. And he was put in jail. slavery, now jail. Hey, he would spend some time in jail. There was a baker and a butler that showed up down there. He helped them out. The one was hung, one was set free. He said, all I want you to do is remember me. 2 years later, he remembered him. He went from jailhouse to prime minister. Listen to what he said to his brothers. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. I don't know who crossed your path this week that caused you to have a bad attitude. I don't know who was in your path that argued with you or misused you or troubled you in some way, dear friend. But I do know this, the God of heaven knew that they were going to cross your path eternity, eons, in time past, before you and I ever was up on this earth, God knew that this day or that person would bother you. It didn't catch God by surprise. Why don't we ask this question? God, what are you going to do with this in my life? God, this person means to cause me harm. This person means to cause me distress. This here situation is bothering me. God, you knew about this. What are you going to do with me through this situation? You're going to have to make decisions. There's life and there's death. I'm telling you, dear friends, stress kills. Stress kills, and we let things that should not bother us many times stress us out so bad so our blood pressure is above 200, on the one side and 160 on the other. It's no wonder that we have people that are having health situations, health problems, because stress is overwhelming you by the decisions you make. You got to make better decisions. We as God's people, listen, we have to make better decisions in our planning. You know, we have the Honduras trip coming up, and we have a lot of things going on here in the next 2 weeks. And Lord, I need to know when we can have this meeting. We can't take away from other things to have this meeting. And I said, Lord, we're going to have it on Tuesday night, 6:45. And some of you might say, well, man, I had something planned. The Big Bang is coming on at 6:45, and I need to see the Big Bang. I'll tell you something, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is more important than anything that comes on that television. Anything. And so you have to plan. You know why we have church at the same time, every doggone time we have church? So you can plan to be on time. We don't mix it up to play games. This isn't Yahtzee. God is a God of order. He desires for His people. You wake up in the morning and you stress yourself out getting ready to come to the house of God. Lord, help. Why? Brother Dave, as far as I can remember, since for the last 64 years, 10 o'clock, been Sunday school. Right? Why do you think way back 64 years ago they came up with a plan? To help God's people to be ready. So you're not bothered. Some of you argue like cats and dogs this morning with your children about coming to church. You got to make plans and decisions way before Sunday morning. Hey, it's just church time. That's where we're going. Yeah. I don't think I want to go today, Dad. I'm glad I don't either, but we're going anyway. This part of life. It's decisions that we make. You've got to make them. You can't get anything out of God's house and the time you're here to worship Him if you're mad at your spouse. Because she was late to church. Because she didn't have clothes laid out. He didn't have clothes laid out. He didn't do his part. Or, you're stressed out over something that did not have to be. Every one of us has been there and done it. Everyone, listen, time for church, come on. Listen, the dog's got to go to the bathroom. The dog done chewed up something that you need. Something happens. Grandma calls, hadn't called all week long, and decides to call at 9:45. If it was work, you would just let it ring on. Hey, listen, it's not a big deal. Answer the phone. Hey, Grandma, how you doing? Oh, we're doing fine, baby. We're having a wonderful time. You know what's going to happen, Grandma? We're about to head to church. And when we get out at 12:30, I'm going to give you a call right back. Amen. Oh, well, I'm going to be taking a nap by then. Okay, I'll call you at 4:30. But then you get all stressed here. Oh, Lord, I'm going to be late. I got to get there. And you're bothered. You know, the Bible says, cast your cares upon Him because He cares for you. Sometimes that's the decision you have to make, is that choose life. Choose life, dear friend. Listen, life is much easier when you're doing right by God. Choose life or curses. Here we go. Here, secondly. You want to defeat a negative attitude, dear friend? Look over in Psalms chapter 119, verse 11. Many of you could quote this verse. You've already said it in your mind. But we're going to look anyway. Psalms 119, verse 11. Psalms 119, verse 11. You want to defeat negative attitude, dear friend? You have to make better decisions. Your devotion to that which is right has to be in order. Psalms 119, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Tell you, your devotion to God's word, to prayer, to God's things, you need not be neglected. God's word is there to help us, to guide us, and to direct us. God's word is there for joy, peace, strength, encouragement. If you don't have any peace in your life, dear friend, maybe it's because you quench the Holy Spirit of God, which passed it. It passes understanding and gives peace and knowledge to those that are God's children. And you've made decisions, some of those decisions is that God's Word's not important. Some of those decisions is that prayer life just doesn't mean anything. Some of those decisions helping others and being on top of other people's problems and helping them, and your problems are bigger than their problems, and so you need, listen, I'm going to tell you something, dear. Your devotion life, your private life, the relationship we have with God has to be more than Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday. There isn't enough time that I could hold you here and talk to you and preach to you of the Word of God just on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night to give you all that will help you throughout the week. It has to be more than that. Your devotional life has to be very important to you. You know, the Bible says in Luke 18:1, Jesus said this. He made a parable there. He said that you should always pray. Always pray. It seems like the only time we want to pray if somebody comes down with pneumonia, cancer, kidney failure, if somebody's thinking about getting married, then we say, well, you need to pray about that. Well, why haven't we prayed about that up until now? Hey, marriage is a real important thing, by the way. And there needs to be some prayer thought put to that. So there needs to be time talking to God. Not now, whenever they're fixing it. Preacher, will you give them some counseling? How long is that going to take? I really want to get married next week. Well, how much counseling can you give somebody in 4 days? Prayer is important. Our devotional life is important. How do we fight the spiritual battle that we are in if we don't stay devoted to the things of God? Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You know why a lot of us, our attitudes are bad? We haven't hid enough the word of God in our life to keep us out of sin. This sin, that sin has kept us from this book, when the book should keep us from sin. So if you want to defeat negative attitudes, you've got to make better decisions. You've got to get right with God in your devotional life, your private life, your personal time with God. Now, wives, listen. If the only time that your husband sat beside you in a whole 52-week period was the time you came to church, it would bother you, wouldn't it? The only time that he sat with you or sat beside you or real close to you was here at church. It'd be trouble, wouldn't it? Listen, husbands, your wife needs you more than just at church time. See, the devil's not going to come in here right now through that door and bring schisms and heresies in here. It's going to little by little creep in. Trouble, little by little. Where does it start? At home. Starts at home. It starts with the fridge you hang out. It starts with the television preachers you're watching. It starts with the books you're reading. And all the time they sit beside you was in church, you'd be a little bothered. But if you go home, he sits over there, and you sit over there. You sleep in there, he sleeps in there. And he comes to church and says, I love you. I love you. You wouldn't believe it, would you? How many times throughout the week do we pause to draw nigh to God? We draw nigh to Him when we come to church. Oh, preacher, I needed that. That song touched my heart. Oh, the Spirit moved today in church. What about that song that should be in our heart on Tuesday morning? What about that time we should spend alone in the Word of God on Thursday evening or Thursday morning that the Word of God really spoke to our heart? What about that? All week long we need to be close to God. Not just at church. Not just at church. Third thing this morning. Proverbs chapter 11, if you would, this morning. I promise you, you'll be out real fast, friend. Just bear with me. They sung extra long today, so I'll preach extra long. No, I'm very mindful that your mind can only handle what your spirit, your hind end. Man, I almost said rear end. Is that different than hind end? It's about the same, man. Your heart can only handle what you spiritually come to prepare to handle. And you prepare during the week for the Lord's day. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 27, the Bible says, he that diligently seeketh good procureth favor, but he that seeketh mischief, it shall come unto him. If you want to have a good attitude and defeat the bad attitude in your life, dear friend, you're going to have to make better decisions. Your walk with God's got to be right. The devotional time you spend with Him. And I'm going to tell you, dear friend, you're diligent to seek the things of God. You know what the Bible says? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first. Listen, selfishness, dear friend, tends to lend itself to a negative attitude. You know why? If it don't go my way, and I'm used to getting my way, let me stop here for a moment. Our country is going slap crazy with all these here sports teams that get a trophy just for participating. Preaching, that is not right. You're going to hurt my child's self-esteem. I'm going to tell you, dear friend, God has never had that in His mind. He says you're going to give an account for the work that you've done in this body. Everyone, you know what He's doing? The devil has tricked us in our sports program to think that everybody deserves a medal. So that every Christian, when they get to the throne, Lord, where's my trophy? I said, I love you. Where's my trophy? You're not getting a crown, dear friend. You're going to get ashes and wood, hay, and stubble. These sports teams giving out trophies and awards just because you're something, they don't even keep score anymore. Listen, your child gets beat 18-0. They know they got beat 18-0. That's for the mom and daddy not to be upset. I'm telling you, dear friend, we need to be diligent to seek the things of God. And every man striveth. You know, every man don't receive the crown. Every man don't. You have to be diligent. Quit being selfish and thinking everything is about you. Well, that bothered some of your parents right now. Some of you got trophy fulls of trophies that your child got because they're just on the team. You know how many church members, dear friend, are on the team of the church that never lift a hand to serve? You think God don't take an account? God takes account, dear friend. Right. Let me tell you something. Listen. What about thinking about somebody else? Diligently looking. Listen. Here's some marital counsel for you. Husband and wife who's thinking about possibly getting a divorce. why don't you find a single mom or single dad that's struggling right now? Go spend some time with them. And see if it's worth it to be selfish at that moment when that child does without a father or a mother that both brought them in there. See if it's worth it. Hey, boys, young men, if you are having problems with your parents, why don't you go spend a time at an orphanage or a juvenile house, a juvenile detention center, where they don't have a dad or a mom to wake them up and get them to school in the morning, cares about them and feeds them and tells them to clean their house, clean their clothes, get those shoes up. Why don't you go spend some time with them? Hey, parents, why don't you, instead of telling your child that they're no good and good for nothing, and why don't you spend some time with them? Why don't you go down to the juvenile center and see how bad it can really get? You know what all that is? That's selfishness. We need to be diligently seeking the things of God, lending a helping hand, visiting the sick, visiting those who are less fortunate. Hey, listen, you want some self-esteem? Go to the nursing home last month with us and go down to the nursing home and see them that would love to come to church and have service with us but can't get out of bed. Right. You want your self-esteem lifted? Do for others. Well, I just got it so bad. My toenails hurt. And I got no money to go to the Chinese store to get the ingrown toenail dug out. Why don't you go down to the hospital where they're amputated and they have no leg? And say, Lord, thank you for the ingrown toenail for a moment. Thank you for the bunion. Thank you, Lord, for the backache. At least I can walk. Your diligence to seek the things of God, dear friend. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Seeking the concern of others. Last week I walked past the back track right back there, and I noticed that there was about six or seven of the things have been emptied. Boy, that blessed my heart. You know, preacher, what happened? We got to spend money to buy more trash. Well, how much is a soul worth? Your friend, we're going to be getting more and more gospel tracts out. More and more gospel tracts out. So, better decisions. Our devotion life needs to be right. Our diligence towards the thing of God needs to be better than last week. Psalms chapter 32, and we're done. Psalms chapter 32. Verse 8. Psalms 32 and verse 8. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. I'm telling you, friend, if you want to have a better attitude, we need to be directed by God's direction. We need to have our pathway set by God. Listen, many people just simply depend upon their power and their own strength, their own might, and they need not concern God with anything in their life until it's a mess, until it's totally falling apart. Then all of a sudden say, Lord, I need you. We need the Lord in our life every moment of our day. Every moment of our day. Hey, listen, God wants to help us, but I'm telling you this, we've got to get this down. We must do our part. Preacher, there's no verse in the Bible that says that. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I told you I was going to be done with that last verse, but you didn't believe me. You cocked your eye off at me and said, I don't believe what he says is true. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. The Lord's all-powerful. Yes, He is. I never said that. The Lord created heaven and earth. That's right. That's what the Bible says. There's no gap theory. There's no evolution. I didn't fall off a tree and lose my tail and stood up a man. God created me. I'm not disputing all that with you. I'm just saying we've got to do our part. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. We then, as workers together with Him, we then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. What does workers do? Work together. We then, as workers with him, we got to do our part. Peter would have sunk to the bottom of that sea if he had not reached up and cried out to Jesus. Peter would have never walked on water unless Peter stepped out of the boat. Dear friend, we need God's direction, but he's going to do what he's going to do because he's worthy to be praised. He's all-powerful. He's worthy to be praised, but he wants us to do our part. He's chosen us. That's what the Bible says in John. You haven't chosen him. He's chosen us to do. Listen, he said the rocks will cry out for us if we be quiet. Listen, if you want a good attitude, dear friend, you're going to have to understand something. You work for the Lord. We are laborers together. He wants to guide. He wants to direct us, dear friend. But we need to understand something, that we are his. And he desires for us to follow him. And to let him lead. Let him guide. Let him direct. Stand to your feet. Proverbs chapter number 3, verse 6. We're going to be done. If I don't let you stand up, I won't remember to get done. Them senior moments are coming on more and more. Proverbs chapter 3, as you stand. The Bible says there, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding. Verse 5, verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. You want a good attitude, dear friend? Make better decisions. Make better decisions. Devote yourself to the Lord. Be diligent in your service for him and allow him to direct your path. You know, if a cat's rubbed the wrong way, what does it do? Turns around. The Holy Spirit of God rubs you the wrong way, tells you you're going the wrong way, turn around and go God's way. I'm not asking you to go my way or church way. I'm asking you to follow the Lord. The Lord is the one that will do it for you. Brother Jim, go on. The Lord is the one that will do it.